This Sunday. Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas, but mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and Live Feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Man, we're trying to earn a dollar here on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your hosts Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. That goes out to the guy we were talking about before, Chris, our good buddy Dennis the Goat Man, who's no longer with us, but that's the song he always requested in the summer, so I'm playing it today. How's that? Yeah. Oh, and now I see Chris's mouth moving with no voice. Okay. All right. Well, you have tuned into Motormouth Radio, and I don't hear Chris. So we're going to talk. We're going to do a few things today. I want to give a big shout-out, as Rob was doing, to our good buddies over at Celebrity Chase Collision in Oceanside, 476 Merrick Road. There's a Cars and Coffee going on today that's really cranking. It's hopping pretty good, and I had to leave. I had no choice but to, let's try that. Say something, Chris. No, that still didn't work. Okay. Nope, that just gives me the echo. If you want to cruise down, it's an open event. Come in, have a bagel, have some coffee, say hello to the guys, see some of the cars that were worked on, some of the things that are in project, in situ, as it were. And, and you can hear the show because we're on live over there. And Let me push this, push that. That didn't work either. And we are going to have a call-in. We're going to have a live call-in from that event. And then later on, we have a guy that we're going to talk to who is a, you know, we all follow social media. And ours is, of course, if you want to know, you want to follow us on the web or on Twitter or Facebook. It's Motormouth Radio. And Instagram is real_Motormouth Radio. So that's how you can follow us. But I follow a guy who does a lot of GTO stuff. And since I own a GTO, he kind of, you know, it kind of drew me to him. No surprise, right? But we're actually going to have him call in at the bottom of the hour, the second half of the show, because he does, he goes to a lot of the big events and, you know, sees the cars, photographs them, does all that good stuff. And that's not it. And keep trying talking, Chris. Now, and he's going to call and talk about this stuff, how he goes around, because I'm kind of enamored of how he gets to go to all these shows and see these cars and travel around. You know, that's something that I would like to do. So, I don't know. That's, we'll be talking to Bob on the second half of the show. And until then, if we can ever get Chris on here, we'll talk about some cars of our own. And, of course, I want to remind everybody to listen on Tuesdays. Tuesdays at 2 on Twitter, our good friend Carl Anthony does what's called the Summer Breeze series. It's a two-minute bit that he does on Twitter. That's Automoblog on Twitter. And this week he's going to talk about, let's see, August 2nd, working. I printed it and it's kind of small, so let's put on some spectacles. Working toward the Automotive Hall of Fame. So I guess that's something we're all trying to do. And Carl's going to talk about how maybe he could do it too. So that's Tuesday at 2. And, you know, when you want to get someone's attention, like Rob over there, who's probably not listening to the show, you can't do it. So that's that. What else do we got here going on? I want to talk to Chris about an Opel article I read that's Car and Driver. I got some old magazines. And, yeah, they did a you thought that Marty, our good friend Marty Shore, you thought his magazines wrote some really crazy, you know, kind of articles. Well, this one was really crazy. Hi, Kim. I can't hear Chris.
Is the mic on?
Oh, there you go.
Is the mic on? I don't want to be off mic. Try mic two.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the matter?
We have no Chris voice. He's sitting there singing right now.
Oh, okay. Well, I got to walk over there.
Yes, please come over. Kim is coming to the other side of the console. I have him muted on there, as should be.
Correct.
Adobe is up.
That's correct.
And on. That one is not muted. So, that's just correct. Like regular. Right. Everything checks through my checklist has been gone through and worked. So, besides that, I don't know what...
I just pushed that one, which I had a problem with before. But
no, unless Chris's, unless his something on his end went wacky, I don't know.
It just happened, or it was on the whole time.
Since now, yeah, we've been trying and nothing's been working.
Why don't we just take a quick break?
Okay,
you can talk because I just have to play around.
I'll talk while Kim plays. That gives me a feedback.
Feedback.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay, right. So we know that works. So that's good. That's working right. And but anyway, about the cars and coffee, I know a couple guys were going down to another event in Oceanside off of Lawson. Well, I'm not going to tell you where it is because I don't want you to go there. I want you to go to the one on Merrick Road. And, you know, these are the things, in case you don't know, which I don't know if you don't know, you haven't been in the car world for too long. That's a term that generated about a year or two ago because guys would bring, obviously, their cars and they would have coffee. And I think the term originated in Florida. That's where I first saw it come out of, although I don't know. I do know if you want to call, you can get in touch with us, or at least me, at 516-572-7440 while we try and work out our audio problems with my co-host. But the cars and coffee thing, that's what it's all about. You just gather at some, usually it's a spot where there's maybe a Dunkin' Donuts or a deli, where you can get that coffee and maybe the roll and whatever. And guys will just sit and hang out, and when they have to leave, you know, it's not a structured, organized thing. So when they have to leave and go home and do whatever they have to do, they leave. And new guys will come in, and, you know, it goes until a set time, and then everybody's done. So that's the impetus of it. And, Mike, if you're free and you're listening, if you want to give us a call at 516-572-7440, this would probably be a pretty good time to talk about the event because I can't talk to my co-host. So, yeah, we can do that. I see Chris is working. Whoa, I hear something now. There's a lot of feedback, but I hear something on Chris's end.
Hello. Hello, hello. Hello.
Yeah.
Hello, hello, hello.
Chris?
Hello.
All right, do you hear me? No, he doesn't hear me. I hear him.
I sound loud.
You are very overmodulated.
I am very overmodulated. And how about now?
That's better. You're a little fuzzy, but I hear you.
Check 1, 2.
Okay, keep talking.
Check 1, 2.
That's
check
better.
Check 1, 2.
Okay, kick it up a little. Give me a little more.
A little bit more. Check 1, 2.
A little more. Go a little more.
Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2.
Keep going. Keep going.
Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2.
Audio. Check 1, 2. Audio adjustments on the air. Yeah.
Check 1, 2.
Okay,
the
hold it there.
Magic
that's good.
Of live radio.
Okay, so the problem was something on your end, I guess.
I don't know. I looked over and I saw a volume down.
Volume down. Yes. Okay, Kim. I think we have it. I think we're good. Thank you very
yes.
much.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
Thank
as
you,
always.
Kim. I was doing all kinds of tests on this end, and I was saying, wait a minute, why don't I see anything happening,
you know,
on my side?
I thought something was amiss, because before the show, Rob actually tried pulling you up to talk.
Right, but of course, Rob didn't say anything when he realized he couldn't hear me.
Well, unlike me, Rob didn't need you as an integral part of his show, where I did. So now we're going to go to the phones.
Okay. Hi.
We're going to go to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
How you doing?
Hey, it's Mike from Costa. How are you?
Very good, Mike. How's everything going down at the event?
So formal, right? This is Mike from CarStar.
Yeah.
You sound good, Mike from CarStar.
Hey, how are you guys? What's going on?
Well, troubleshooting on the air, as you can see, but...
Yes, we have to fix everything, we've come to realize. Everything needs to be repaired at one time or another, and of course, the show constantly needs repair.
Right.
So that's why we do what we do. How are you? You sound busy.
All right, yeah, things are good. You know, we got a couple of cars here for our first one, our Coffee and Cars down here in Oceanside. Ray was here early, but then he had to go through this thing that he does on Sundays with you. So he had to leave, and he took the main attraction away, his nice 65 GTO.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he brought the crown jewel to the program.
Well, very I nice. Tell you, Chris, I offered to leave the car as a centerpiece, and I said give me a junker. I'll drive the tow truck. I can't drive the tow truck. It blew a brake line. Like, okay, can't do that. So
you took the GTO off the rotisserie in the middle of the
spinning one, right?
The spinning one, right? With the mirrored base.
Mike, I'll give you an update. I don't know, the fellows I was talking about, my two other buddies with the Mustang and the Dune Buggy, they were at another event in Oceanside. They were going to shoot over to your location, so you may be seeing them soon.
All right, good. We'll try to fit him in on the lot.
Yeah, I know. We have to go rooftop parking. You know, so if you see another white Mustang with a red interior, that's our friend Rick.
So, Mike, how is the Premier Cars and Coffee going so far?
Yeah, it's going okay. A lot of friends and family here, which is good, which is most important. You know, we'd like other people to come. We've got free bagels.
Yeah.
So if you want to come by and get a free bagel, you can have it from Bagel Boss.
Right, right.
And, you know, it's nice. We're just sitting talking family stuff, talking car talk.
Right.
And enjoying ourselves on this beautiful day.
Yeah.
We have to bring you down with like a mic. We have to get some, like, sound bites from, so we can continue this. We'll do, like, the Cars and Coffee sound bites here on Motormouth Radio. We'll just have we'll walk you around with some sort of recording device, and you can record some of the conversations, and I'm sure some of them are electrifying. If not.
Right, maybe you'll replace the Paris one with ours, you know, the Motormouth!
Right, exactly. And if you get a couple of pictures, get some pictures of the crowd, Mike, and then we'll, you know, I know you guys are going to post them, and we'll cross-post them on our social media feeds, too. We'll share them. And,
yes. Thank you. I appreciate that. And maybe you'll come back when you come home, Ray, and say hello. You got something to do.
Are you guys going to still be going, or are you going to be calling it a day and going home to the back?
I'll probably stay here about 2 o'clock or so, and then head home.
Okay,
that's it.
All right.
So if you want to stop by, stop by. If not, I'll see you during the week.
Yes, you will.
And thank you very much for shouting out about the Cars and Coffee.
Absolutely.
And Chris, we'll get to see you soon, hopefully.
Yes,
when you come back to. When you come back out of Connecticut one day.
Come back to the home turf, yes.
That's
I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, it'll be good to see it. Maybe you'll come down. Maybe you guys are going to do a live broadcast here one day.
That was the thought.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be a bad thing. Yeah.
We could do
it.
Right.
We can pull it off. It right. wouldn't be bad.
Well, it's got to be better than what we're pulling off now. I mean, can't be much worse.
You're right. We're screwing up on something we do constantly every week for the last 3 years.
I mean, it's exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mike, thank
Mike, you.
Mike, you
have anybody else who wants to say hi? Anybody wants to drop a thought into the phone? Maybe your son or one of the crowd? I don't know.
If I walk over, I'm going to be on the, you might get feedback. I'm on the side of the building right now.
Oh, you catch the radio, yeah.
Everybody is phone shy.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've been dealing with that for years. And I said,
Yes, I understand.
I know. So
I felt the same way talking to you guys.
Yeah.
I got somebody that likes to talk here.
Okay.
I'm going to put my friend Jerry on. I grew up with Jerry.
Oh, Jerry, okay.
Yeah. Jerry, say hello to the guys. Radio. Hello.
Hey, Jerry, how are you?
Hey, Jerry.
All right, Ray.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm very good. You got me and you got Chris on the line with me, too, electronically. So, yeah, it's good to hear you came down to the cars. Did you bring the minivan?
No, I didn't bring the minivan. I was going to bring the minivan.
All right. Okay.
You know about the minivan.
I worked on your minivan. What do you mean?
Right. I bought the Acura.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good.
Yeah. I brought my son. Mike did the windows on the car. He did it all black.
Oh, good. Ooh.
Yeah. So I tell you, I don't like it.
So you can only drive it in the day.
Right.
It's like driving in a tunnel all the time.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, did you pick out a good bagel?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. They're very good. I'll tell you, I had one. I had one early, so they are very good. It's make sure you grab a good one. So.
Right. I tell you what, Mike has a nice spread here, though.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, he's got a nice spread. He's got bagels. He's got everything here.
You know, Jerry, we got to see if we can get a deli or somebody to kind of sponsor that and kick in, a couple things of coffee and maybe some rolls or bagels. That's the way you want to do it. You want to get some other people involved and,
Yes, you're 100% right with that.
Yeah.
Of course, when we do things at the job, we get sponsors, like Pizza Palace donate peaches and stuff, because they get their name there.
Right.
Like a sponsor.
Right.
Not like 7-Eleven, because they wouldn't sponsor you.
Yeah.
But a local bakery, like Boss Bagels.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely do it.
Well, I think since you have the experience in that, you got to go make a few visits, and hey.
I think you're right. You know that?
Yeah, you walk in and say, where's the boss? I want to talk to you. Listen, I think you should be sponsoring our event. You know what I mean?
Say no more.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, Jerry.
Hey,
very good.
How's your car doing? The one that you were working on last time I was here.
It's great. I had it there earlier today until I had to leave until about 11 o'clock, and then I'll see if I can stop. Maybe I'll stop down after the show, and if you're still there, you get to see it in person.
All right, I'll see you then.
Thanks, Jerry.
All right, good talking to you, Ray.
All righty, bye bye.
All right, bye, Chris. All right, bye bye.
Take care, Jerry.
All right.
All right, bye bye.
Oh, okay.
Bye. Starts to sound busy over there.
Yeah. All right, there's Jerry from the Cars and Coffee at Celebrity Chase Collision, 476 Merrick Road in Oceanside, close to the Baldwin border, right across from the 7-Eleven. Everybody, or Louisiana Joe's, everybody, that place is so busy for food. Really? We should get them as a sponsor because they're phenomenal. But, yeah, stop in, say hi to the guys, and you can pet my toolbox.
No. Hey, that sounds like a good time right there.
Hey, I enjoy it.
Pet Ray's toolbox.
Or is it my pet toolbox? I don't know.
That's funny. 516-572-7440. Hey, I got to bring up something. Speaking about petting your toolbox.
Use that tissue by the side. Last time you did that, you got the monitor all wet. It was terrible. It was disgusting.
I got excited.
I know.
So anyway, it's funny because I took the top of the motor off my Explorer because I wanted to change the fuel injectors, right?
Okay.
So, of course, I take everything off because I worked on this car previously. So everything comes off neat and clean, no problems. Everything is beautiful. The way it all becomes disassembled, the top of the motor comes right off.
Okay.
So now I'm looking at the fuel rail. I take the fuel rail off and I flip it over and I swap out my fuel injectors with the ones that I've purchased. Okay. Right. You still hear me?
I got you.
You're still awake. Okay, good. So now I take the fuel rail with the new fuel injectors and I go to push them back into the intake manifold area.
Let me ask you, can I ask you one question?
Sure.
That may ruin your whole story.
Sure.
Did you lubricate the O-ring a little bit first?
Yes, I did.
Okay, good. Well, then you really were in trouble. Okay.
Yes. So I go to push it in and it falls right in.
Oh, I know what it is. It's the Chinese part you bought. We're wrong.
Hooray!
Yay!
Hooray! No, yes and no. Here's the problem.
What happened?
I bought fuel injectors for a civilian model.
Oh, yeah,
The fuel injector's the same, but the seals on mine are thicker than the ones on the civilian models. Not by much, but they're thicker.
Yeah.
So, Ray, I have a personal problem.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I have the wrong rubber.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Yes, I have the wrong rubber.
Yeah.
I need bigger rubber, Ray.
Yeah. Lucky you. And this is the guy. Now, and you are the guy.
I need thicker rubber, Ray.
And you are the guy, if you probably about a month or so ago, who said, and beware, folks, if you buy an ex-police vehicle, your parts you buy will be different than the civilian model.
Yeah. Yes, they will. And you have one with these vehicles has to tolerate such improvements for what? What would you say? Heavy duty operation?
Well, so let me ask you this. Is it just a matter, you think, of just changing the O-rings from... All right, well, you can... I don't know if you
ordered... I ordered the O-rings. I ordered them from...
Okay.
It's an O-ring sealer kit that is what would you say, indicative of the interceptor vehicle. So just...
Yeah, look at the
button.
Yeah, of course, do that comparison very, very carefully before you go and use them.
But I was laughing because I have the fuel rail and it's, you know, of course you have to squeeze it in, push it in, circular motion,
tight.
Blah blah blah.
Usually,
this thing went plump, fell right in.
That's the first. I tell you,
I'm
the mistake,
like,
you know,
wrong.
When I was putting my motorcycle back together, it has fuel injectors, and I went to put the injectors are. Yeah, on the rail. I went to put them in, and they stopped. I was like, wow, I know that I lubricated them. I know sometimes you really got to shove them in there. They can be really tight and intimidating for people who haven't done it before.
Right.
And then well, no, I have done it, but it's still, you know.
No, but you are tight and intimidating.
Well, that I am, yeah. But then I said, wait a minute. I know what. When I had them out, I took, I have a selection of caps, like vacuum caps. And, you know, for carburetors, and I save the ones off the brakes, and, you know, all sorts of different shape, size. I have a bunch of them that look like a cone, kind of like a witch's hat. I don't know what they came off of. And I'd put them in the injector holes. So that's why I couldn't get it in.
Oh, no.
But let's go back to the phones and the fun and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Ray and Chris, John, good morning, guys.
Hey, Johnny, how are you?
Hey,
John. I'm in the right time zone.
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
I'm laughing with your whole fuel injector thing. I had a buddy of mine that did an outboard motor swap, used motor that they picked up. Thing ran great. The place they bought it from seemed very reputable. It started up, fired up great in the tank at the place they bought it. They put it in the water, couldn't get it to go.
Okay.
All right.
It was almost like a testimonial if you Googled what the problem was. The fuel injectors were clogged.
Wow.
It was insane. They wanted like $100 a fuel injector to service them.
Wow.
In the Yamaha dealer. And my buddy and I looked, and like for $300 you could buy a whole fuel injector service kit. I'm sure it's not as good as one that they'd use in a shop. It had the whole spray pattern test on it and everything. Right. Have you had any experience with that?
What specifically, John?
I'm sorry?
What experience with what specifically?
Servicing fuel injectors, like, running the cleaner through them.
Okay.
On.
Yes. I've done it a number of different ways, everything from the just pouring the stuff in the tank to actually the pressurized one where you disconnect the fuel rail, put the pressurized can on the rail, and directly inject the stuff under pressure. And then the last couple times I had injectors done, I brought them to a fuel injector place by us. It's right by the shop in Oceanside. And what they do is they run them up first. They check the spray pattern. They know what it should be. They check it, you know, write it down. Then they take them apart, clean them, and then run them again and look at the spray pattern. And they give you a before and after percentage of how much you've gained or. And then they know, like, if it doesn't gain or it doesn't, then they know that injector's bad and they have to, you know, it could be electrically bad, too. There's a coil in there that can short out or open.
Right.
So, yes, I've pretty much had an experience with all the different methods, but.
Yeah, because the machine that I found online, and they're, you know, they vary in price, looked like a pretty thorough kit. It came with, a small ultrasonic cleaner.
Yes.
And you hooked the injector up to a pulser.
Right.
And it would actually pulse the injector while it was in the ultrasonic cleaner.
Right. And what that does is it raises and lowers the pintle inside, which lets the fuel pass. Right.
Yeah.
True.
And after that, it had another pressurized, I guess it's a filtered system. I didn't really get that far into it, where it actually blows through injector cleaner.
Right.
Through it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess you could do it before and after, but it also had the thing to get the spray pattern so you could see the before and after.
Nice.
But I was amazed. You know, a Yamaha outboard dealer was $100 an injector.
Well, you know, it tis the season, John. It's boating season. You want to float. You got to pay up, baby.
Yeah.
So listen, the machine you saw, what did that cost?
It was like $300.
That's not bad at all. I mean, you know, I paid that for my ultrasonic cleaner.
Yeah, you bought the oh my God ultrasonic.
I did. I could take a bath in it. Yeah.
I went to HF and got the little one, and I love the thing.
Right.
You know, but for you know the automotive work, I'm doing more. You know, lawnmower, two-stroke.
Right.
It's perfect because all the carburetors fit.
And I'll tell you,
in your case, if you want to dump a whole carburetor in it, hate to say it, size matters.
No, you're right. You're right. And my parameter was I wanted to be able to put a four-barrel carburetor apart, side by side, in this thing. And I also wanted a heated cleaner because heating the fluid makes a big difference, too. And
The HF one is... heated.
Okay. All right, good. So
it gets plenty hot. Like, don't put your hands in it after it's been on for a while.
It's funny, John, HF, we're talking Harbor Freight, of course, like where Brian goes on Sunday morning to collect debts.
I love that. Oh, my God. That's the best.
I know. Well, I was in the store a couple of weeks ago to get something else, and I saw a guy wandering around the one aisle, a guy about my age, and he said, excuse me, you happen to know where the ultrasonic cleaners are? I was like, wow, you know what? I think you're in the right aisle. I've seen them there, you know. And we found that it wasn't where it was supposed to be, like anything in that store. And I said, you know, I don't know. I felt chatty. So I said, oh, by the way, what are you going to be cleaning? Jewelry or, you know, no, I'm going to do carburetors. I was like, I hope small ones. I said, because, you know, this thing. Yeah. He goes, I just do, you know, yard equipment, lawnmower. Oh, okay. I said, it'll be perfect for it, you know. So, and then we discussed.
It really is. Yeah. You know, only complaint I saw about them, there's the plastic cover. When you go to dump the water out, and I'm sure the one you have has a drain in it.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, the Harbor Freight one doesn't have a drain.
No.
And everybody that had it complains because when you dump the stuff out of it, it goes through an unsealed seam between the plastic casing and the... stainless steel tub.
I would drill a hole at the bottom of the wall and put a fitting in and seal it and then put my own drain in the damn thing. That's what I would do.
I took the most expeditious method that I saw of people that complained about it, and the guy said, I took the first one back because I bought the extended warranty, and he goes, when I got the second one, I got a tube of GE Clear.
Uh-huh. Right.
And... you know, I did that to mine day one before I even used it. So
the other tip, John, I think we spoke about this, is not to put the cleaning fluid in the ultrasonic cleaner. You fill the ultrasonic.
Depending on what you're cleaning, yes. Like if I'm cleaning something small, i.e. A fuel injector, I put it in like a Chinese soup container with seafoam.
Yes, the idea is you fill the ultrasonic cleaner with water, and you put your parts in a secondary container that you can seal, and you put the cleaning fluid in that, because the dirty fluid now doesn't contaminate. Because this way, if you want to put jewelry in the cleaner or hairbrushes or toothpicks, people clean all sorts of crazy crap, you now haven't contaminated your main chamber. You can just leave the water in that.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I learned that on the internet.
It really works well, because, you know, it cut down a lot on my seafoam purchases.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. John, I think...
Gallon of seafoam is not cheap stuff, but it really does work well for decontamination of, clogged stuff.
John,
they're coming
to get you.
They're coming for you.
They're coming to get you. He might
I think John had to leave.
I muted the phone. Right. I didn't think
it. Oh, okay.
I didn't know Sarge.
Actually, Ray, I live down the road from a retirement community, so when the weather gets hot,
I was going to say, I didn't know sod farms had emergency calls. But, no, that was, but like I was going to say, what was I going to say? I don't know. I lost it now. Oh, yeah, the seafoam. Simple Green is also a very good cleaner, and you can dilute it even. You don't have to use it straight, or the other one is, it's in a purple bottle. Oh, my God, what's it named? It's the
Purple Green.
Who? What purple job?
Super Clean.
Yeah, Super Clean. That's another
Super
great
clean.
One. Another great
looking
one.
Looking at a bottle of it, I got gallons of it here.
Yes.
Depends on what, you know, if you're looking to degrease something, it's great for that.
Right.
The sea foam, oh my Lord, it takes carbon, everything off, you know, depending on how long you leave it sit.
Right.
And a lot of times, you know, I won't even turn the ultrasonic cleaner on. I'll just dump the stuff in whatever container I have the sea foam in and leave it sit.
Right.
Because
right.
the sea foam, you can actually put in the crankcase, you can put it in the fuel lines. You know, it's pretty versatile and won't hurt anything.
Right.
I don't know about the Super Clean or the other stuff. You know, if you didn't get it all out.
Experiment. Try it. What the heck?
I don't know how well it burns.
I don't know, yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know, my thought, because that's a, you know, a degreaser more so than the seafoam.
Right. All right,
it all depends on how many Chinese food containers you have, John.
Exactly. eat more soup.
So. You know, Chinese food containers, yogurt containers.
Tupperware, anything. As long as it gets a good seal. I've used jars that twist top. Yeah, creative. Go crazy.
I do, but I was just curious if you had ever had the opportunity to use one of those machines. Take a look online, you know, fuel injector servicing,
right.
And there's a boatload of them out there. But as I said, the one I was impressed with, you can drop it in, you know, the ultrasonic cleaner, and it actually pulses the injector as it's sitting in
That's
there.
That's the best way, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, and once you do that and loosen everything up, then you put it through the pressurized part.
Right.
And, you know, it seems like a pretty straightforward thing, but, I can't imagine if it was $100 to service, you know, four outboard Yamaha injectors, what the new ones cost. I didn't...
You know, you go to the injector place, and you're generally going to spend about $20 bucks an injector for a cleaning service, which a lot better than $100.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, y'all, we're going to pulse our way into a break, so we got to run.
You're at the bottom of the hour.
Yep, thank you.
Have a great day, guys.
All right,
good
John.
Chatting.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, John. Be safe.
Stay well, Chris.
All right, that was John doing his thing, and we are at the bottom. Chris, we have a new feature that's.
Oh,
they give a. You know, we got notes and all sorts of stuff hanging up here. We need.
Oh wow!
It's not quite time and temp. It's weather at the 30. So
weather at the 30.
Yeah, I have to tell you that it's today is going to be a high of 85, mix of sun and clouds, turns cloudy tonight with occasional rain. You're good at this, not me. Low of 71. Tomorrow is partly cloudy. High of 77. Low of 72. It's currently around 80 something degrees.
Wow, that was good. That was good.
I heard rain for tomorrow. We'll see. And also. Make sure that Saturdays at 4, you listen to the party mix here in the station where you get the night started with host Stephanie Lombardo. Remember Stephanie, good friend of ours?
Sure.
With a mix of feel-good tunes, including hip-hop, techno, dance classics, and current hits. So, that takes us right to the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour, if we have one today.
Yes, it does. The old stale feature that we do here on this fine, upstanding show. Here at Motormouth Radio and the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. If you cannot tolerate any glowing idiot lights on your dashboard, doesn't a check engine light make you turn around and head directly home or directly to the mechanics? Does a tire pressure warning light make you curse out loud? Have you ever caught your generator light flicker in your classic car, which instantly makes you paranoid? Did it flicker? I don't know. Did I see it? Did it not? And you stare at it. Does a low windshield washer fluid light make you run right out to the auto parts store and pick up a jug of blue water to throw into the reservoir to turn the light out? Do you know that individual that can motor around all day with a sort of dashboard warnings flashing on and off randomly? Doesn't it make you crazy? Well, if you cannot stand the sight of a glowing idiot light on your dash as you drive, then you are part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. There you go.
Right.
Yes.
Very good. Yes. Well, those glowing idiot lights are. I just like I get upset when I see glowing idiots near my dashboard. But that's
another driving next to you.
Yeah, another story altogether. So we will thank you for that, Chris. We'll take our break and we'll come back with more. We'll be talking. We'll see if we can get Bob on the line and talk about his great his photography that he's doing these days with all these GTOs and Pontiacs. Yeah, mm-hmm. And so keep it where you got it. This is, what are we playing here? I got something.
What do you got there?
Another oldie moldy from the archives of the past we'll play. And we'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio on 90.3 WHPC.
My name is Carl Anthony with Automoblog and AutoVision News, and you're listening to Ray and Chris on Motor Mouth Radio, WHPC 90.3 FM.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CarStar Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available at 516-593-0920 or online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Hello, gentlemen.
Next
you guys
one.
Call yourself hot rods. Come on, man.
I was waiting for you to learn how to trim my bonsai plant.
Motor Mouth.
Love the show and keep them coming.
You have to excuse me. I was just outside messing around with the car.
I'm reluctant to say I'm anything like you guys.
Motor Mouth.
But I am exactly like you guys.
I try and keep every old thing going.
Good show as usual.
Motor Mouth.
You guys are trouble.
I know you guys have your finger on the pulse of stuff.
Our trained staff of two will help.
Come on and ask and answer some car questions. I'm a fount of useless knowledge.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Instructions are just another man's opinion, Ray.
Yeah, I talk to you guys when I need you. I appreciate you. I listen to you.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I'll be glad to answer any questions for you. I can.
You're different because you glow in the dark, so it's all good.
Rob, can I ask you a question?
Sure, ask anything.
Motor Mouth!
Have you heard from Ray or Chris saying that this was going to be the best show ever in the history
of mankind?
No,
you see, it's funny because Ray will come in and say, well, Rob, this is going to be the greatest show we've ever done.
It's not Sunday morning until I'm sure.
And sometimes Chris...
Motor Mouth Radio is going to be the best show that was ever done.
And then Chris will sometimes joke that it's going to be the worst show they've ever done.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motor Mouth!
Hey you, get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motor Mouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
Yeah, you might learn how to tune your dial to a rock show or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
Thank you, Johnny. That's always great words to kick us back off into the second segment, where we will be talking to our friend Bob, who is an internet, I call him an internet phenom. We'll see if he agrees. Not everybody always agrees with me. Most people don't usually, but especially you. But
so it's Bob 64, Bob GTO 64 or Bob 64 GTO?
We will find out from the man himself right now.
Alrighty.
And we say, that's hello, cool. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello, how are you today, guys, doing today?
Bob, how are you? This is, you're speaking with Ray, and of course, Chris is with me on the other end. And, Bob, you're kind of, we're putting you in the category of the friends we never met, because we've scouted out people who do YouTube videos and things like that are car-related, and I happen to follow you on Twitter and Instagram. And said, hey, this guy does a lot of really cool Pontiac and GTO stuff. And that's what I've been doing most of my life. So I said, hey, let's get him on the show. So, Bob, why don't you start by telling us what you do and this, in regards to what your postings, and we'll roll from there.
Well, I'm retired, so I do anything I want.
Me too, buddy. Me too.
I've always loved cars, and I've always loved photography from when my sister gave me a Kodak Brownie when I was probably 8 or 9 years old, and I've been taking pictures of cars ever since.
Do you see a commonality here, Chris? I mean, those are two of my big hobbies, too.
Yes, I'm starting to see how you guys are brothers from other mothers. Yes.
Yeah.
Very true. Very true.
So digital photography has made it easy. You don't have to pay $5-6 for a roll of 32 or 36 prints and then have them printed and plus you can post them. You can do anything with them now. Whereas before you had to mess around with them.
Let me ask you a question, Bob. I've been shooting film since the late 60s, I guess, and then right up until the digital era. And when I got more serious about it, when I had a really good SLR camera, my goal became to get one photo out of a roll that I could deem, blow upable to even 8x10. That was my, I set my sights low, let's face it. But again, with my eye, it had to be right. And did you have anything like that yourself that you kind of set rules for yourself with?
Well, I took a photography class, and the instructor said that's pretty much the professional's goal, is to get one or two good shots out of a roll.
Okay, good. I probably learned it in a photography class, too.
I took my daughter. My boys aren't interested in cars. I took my daughter to car cruises, and I take pictures. She says, "You're boring. You take the same shots. You take this angle, that angle, this angle." So then I started to look at different odd angles, and I got a wide angle lens so I could distort the picture, distort the car, and do different things. So right. She led me to go beyond the norm.
Yeah, I did notice that recently you've been doing a lot more of, focus on the foreground, blurred background, focus on the background, blurred foreground, kind of doing stuff like that, which is, to my autistic eye, I like that stuff. I don't know if everybody does. I don't know.
A lot of people, they see a blur and they think, oh, this one's a bad one.
Yeah, and then again, I'm also a big fan. I've always been a big student of macro photography. That's another thing I love to do. So
I never got into that.
And not everybody, again, there was a magazine back in the 70s called Games Magazine. And they always had a feature. It was like maybe 8 or 10 squares, and it was a very close-up or a macro picture, like a comb. And it would just be the spines of the comb, and you had to kind of guess I worked as a metallurgist. I did microscopy, so I was 2,000 magnification in a microscope. I lived in that world, so the games thing was easy. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a comb. Oh, yeah, that's a telephone dial. So, again, it's just the stuff we get into. But so tell us about your...
You got the metal. I was a blacksmith.
Oh, very cool. Very good. I used to cut your stuff apart and look at the grain structure.
There you go.
So tell us about your GTO history in your life, because you have quite a good story.
In high school, I started hanging around with a guy that had a 67 Firebird, and I loved that car. It was a three on the tree, bench seat, one barrel overhead cam. And I had a 63 Chevy at the time, and I started looking for a Firebird. I couldn't find one. I found a 68 GTO sitting on the lot, and I bought that September 23rd, 1973, and that was it. I started reading everything I could on GTOs, decided that I had to have a 64. I was driving to work one day, and I saw this beat up 64 sitting in a parking lot, dirt parking lot. I'd stop and look at it. Finally got the guy's name. I called him. He wanted, what did he want? He wanted $100. I told him I'd give him 75. I never touched the car. I looked, I noticed, saw it was a 4-speed, but I didn't look under the hood. When I got there, he's trying to start it, and it has 3.2s on it. I almost died. He towed it to my grandmother's house because my parents would have killed me. I got under the hood, and I opened the trunk. All the air cleaners and the foam were all in the trunk. Put the air cleaners on. I looked at the engine. The ground wire was bolted to the fender, and it was a loose bolt. I put it on the block, poured some gas down the carburetor, started right up.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Holy smokes.
Unfortunately, I don't have that car anymore.
What year was this, Bob?
The title.
What?
What year was this? That was 1974.
Right.
Okay, so it was only a 10-year-old car. That's amazing.
Yep.
And
yep.
That's how I got mine. I got mine in 75, and it was also a 10-year-old car. It's a 65, right. So... Yeah, like I said, the story was such a parallel, and when I talked to Bob, I said, oh, man, we got to talk on the air. It's like, you know, it's so cool.
And you've had it ever since, right?
I have. Driving it today, you know, bombing it around, parked it in the lot, left the windows open, you know, just like, but I parked between Kim and Rob, so I'm safe.
No good.
As long as Rob doesn't
leave the windows
open. As long as Rob doesn't do anything crazy, I'm okay.
So Bob, did you basically practice on this car like Ray did? I always make fun of Ray because all the mistakes that he's ever done on that car, he had to go and fix and repair.
Yes.
So the car, his race car is standing tall and looks great today, but he had to fix all the demons, he had, all the learning curves that he learned on that car. He had to repair it all. Did you have to do the same thing? Did you learn as a teenager and in your early 20s? You like made all kinds of screw-ups on your 64 and then had to repair them all?
I learned some things from my brother and, of course, the 68 GTO with the plastic timing gear when that went. I learned how to jack up the engine, take the pan off to get all the plastic out of it and do all that. But right now, there's a couple friends that are excellent. I'm not much of a mechanic, and I got a couple friends that are really so helpful.
Right.
He says that I rebuilt the engine. He told me everything to do. He checked the tolerances. We did everything. You know, he showed me how to do everything. I don't know that I could do it again by myself, but
Hey, listen, we all have, and like Chris said with me, I had plenty of other cars. I always had at least two cars on the road. So I had plenty of other cars and lots of friends to learn and make mistakes on. Luckily, the stuff I did to my car was kind of all reversible. So because I kind of knew, like, that was my car and I would want to keep it. So, but we do relive our past mistakes. Everybody I know, Mike has gone through this too. You look at, a car that you had a while ago and then you think, oh, wow, I remember when I did that.
Yeah, exactly.
How can I fix it?
It's very rewarding when you get it right.
Yeah, exactly.
Very true. Yeah, I basically grew up with a bunch of guys that wanted to always keep it stock. Don't mess with it. And guys would always get on my case if I tried to do any sort of improvements or anything that was different that didn't that deviated away from the stock configuration of the vehicle. And I'd always get browbeaten. What are you doing that for? Get rid of, put it back to stock. Leave it alone. So I've learned just to leave it stock and leave it alone.
And that's what kept guys like me out of Brooklyn, because we figured, oh, yeah, we'll be rumbling with these Brooklyn dudes. But you know what? They got stock cars. We can outrun them real easy.
Because we had no money.
Yeah, well, no, neither did we. We used to hang out in junkyards to get parts, you know? So, Bob, tell us a little bit about the shows that you got. I mean, you were at the GTO Nationals, the GTO AA Nationals, and now you're going to the Trans Am Nationals. How do you work that into life schedule? That's great.
It's retirement.
Yeah, well, obviously, you got to have the okay. You know, it's got to, you know.
This was, well, I'm widowed, so I don't have any okay.
Okay.
Oh, life's pretty good because I bought a Trans Am since then.
Nice.
Oh, good. But, what year?
It's the 94 25th anniversary. A friend of mine bought it new, and he preserved it, you know. So it had 19,000 miles when I bought it.
Nice.
And I've driven the heck out of it, you know. He didn't want to drive it. He thought it would be worth something, and it really wasn't worth what he thought it would be. So I benefited from that.
Great.
So.
Great.
But it will be worth something. Keep it. It will be worth something.
Yeah, it'll be worth something.
I was just driving by a car lot yesterday. It used to be a Pontiac dealership, in fact, in town. Now it's a GMC dealership. And right at the end by the driveway was, I believe, a 96 Trans Am white, triple white convertible with the WS6 package. Mm-hmm. Car, the window sticker on it. This thing looks like it had been in a garage since it was new. Mm-hmm. And I'm really thinking about running by and checking it out. Although I'd really rather have an older one. Yeah.
Well, I like them all. I'd love to have an old Firebird 67 preferably.
There's two. Someday. I always wanted a 69 and preferably a convertible, but the second gens are really my favorite. I love, and I'd rather a second gen formula is the one I want. I love that formula hood.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
but whatever.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, yeah.
Very true.
Like I said, I'd have one of each year in each body style GTO if I could, and then I'd start on the next model.
You know, I've said that in joke, in jest to friends, and I said, you know what, being the guy that services the cars, I got friends that have, you know, my friend Dougie, a good friend Dougie, has a bunch of cars. You need Jay Leno's guy to just go through and maintain that fleet. I mean, just the cost of oil and tires and, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Insurance.
Yeah, and that's...
You need Jay Leno's money, too.
Yeah. Exactly. So
that's for sure. So what other cars do you have in your fleet, Bob? You got the 64, you got the 94. Anything else sticking out of the garage?
Just a couple GMCs. Okay. Just GMC daily drivers.
Nice. That's cool.
So the one worked as a tow vehicle. I bought a trailer this year because of going to Kingsport and then down to Nashville to visit a friend, then down to visit Elvis, and then up to Tulsa. So I said, there's no way I'm going to drive a GTO with no air conditioning.
Right.
Down through that heat. I would have died.
Yeah, well, I know. I put AC in my car, but I don't have it hooked up. I have to get a pressure line crimped. But I came home yesterday from a few little cruises. My wife, I said hello to my wife. I turned around. She goes, "Oh my God, is that sweat on you?" I'm like, "My shirt was stuck to my back." I'm like, "Yeah." Without the AC, it's kind of hot in that car.
Yeah, I believe it. So, but Bob, when you get out of the 94 Firebird, when you hop out of the driver's seat, do you make a noise?
Do I make a noise?
Yeah. I can't get out of a car like that without making a noise. You got to climb out of the car. You got to grab the roof. Yeah. You got to grab the door jam. You got to swing your legs out. You got to make a noise when you climb out of the 94, right?
Well, no, I don't make any noises. I'm still pretty fairly agile. I put the seat back all the way and tilt the wheel up and then just grab the wheel and kind of swivel. But I put my hand on the bolster of the seat so I don't wear it out.
Yeah.
You know, don't wear
good idea.
That's good for good you, idea. Right? That's good.
Yeah. I had an 84 Corvette. I couldn't get out of that car without making a noise.
Those are the worst. Yeah, that deep.
You swung your feet around in the bucket seat, and it was sticking straight up and like pointing at the side window.
Right.
I'm like, okay, now what? You're lying. Man.
So Bob, let me ask you this: with the with Twitter and Instagram, how is that working out? Because, you know, of course, we have accounts also. We don't have a lot of followers. We're not huge, but, you know, we're always looking to grow it. What's do you have any secrets to success or any methods you use to?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, I just got on and just started posting cars. But for the most part, I just post cars.
Okay. Right.
Or and music.
Yeah.
I love music too.
Me too. Yeah.
So, and I don't know. I get 10,000 followers. I don't know how that happened. I just,
it's crazy.
Just people like the cars.
Right. Well, if you want
and
to tell
no them, secret, I'm a Pontiac guy. I post anything.
If you want to tell them about a car show with a Pontiac nut at the wheel, feel free to drop our name. I'd appreciate it. So, and of course, we'll do the same for you.
So, Bob, what is your tag, your handle on Twitter?
Yes.
What is it?
Put that out for us, please.
I don't even know. It's I have to look it up. It's Bob 64.
No, no, I believe
like
you're Bob 64.
Bob
64 GTO.
That's it.
On Twitter, and I think it's the same on Instagram. I didn't verify. I think it is.
I would have to look them because I can only get Instagram on the phone, and I don't want to do that while I'm on the phone.
Right. So
I'm looking. I think I'm looking at your posts now. Cars are cool.
Yeah.
You got some nice cars posted on your Twitter page. Well,
and through your tenure, Bob, have you found that the Pontiac guys, like yourself and like me, are any different than any other GM or Chrysler or Ford guys, or do you think
I don't think so.
Okay.
There's you know, the normal joking back and forth, but most people appreciate all cars.
I had a few guys growing up that were Pontiac nuts like me, and they kind of took an attitude, because back in the day, we couldn't get parts. We couldn't get, you know, it was hard. The Chevy guys got everything, or the Ford guys, Chrysler, but Pontiac was always kind of tough to get stuff for. Mm-hmm. You know, now it's a lot better, but it was always a little hard. So a lot of guys gave up on them because of that. It was like, you know what, let me go to something easy. Let me get a Chevelle or a Mustang or a, you know, a Roadrunner or something. And
Well, that's because there's so many of them.
Well, yeah, there are a lot of GTOs, too. But, you know, and I found the trick for mechanical stuff. It's, like, called the A-body. And anything that that fits a 65 GTO fits a 65 Chevelle, a 65 Skylark, a 65. You know, so there was that cross-pollination of parts. I even put a Chevy engine in my car for a while. You know, it bolted right in with the right mounts. It was no-brainer. Same, you know, and I bought headers for a Chevelle, same chassis. So once you learn those tricks... But, you know, God forbid you need a tail panel or a tail light. You know, now you're back in Pontiac world and you're on your own, you know.
Yeah, so. Well, luckily now everything's reproed and you can get anything you want.
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of the cool stuff, like for my car, the tail light lenses, those bezels that are, you know, like a Venetian blind, they reproduce them in plastic, which they look great.
Oh.
And they look and feel good. You wouldn't know it by looking at them. And then they make them in metal. I had to go for the metal ones. The plastic ones were $400. The metal ones were $600. And I said, ooh. And I said, well, I can't go with the plastic. I got to go with the metal.
Yeah, I would do the same.
And same thing with the console. They redo that, but they, you know, but you know, there's some really good parts suppliers out there, and you can get a lot of good stuff. I like to use as much, you know, unlike Chris, I'm not the stock guy, but I like to use as many original parts as I can. You got to use some resto stuff, but you know, so you call it as you see.
Well, luckily, I've had 364, so I don't throw anything away.
Right.
Well, good.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah. That's,
so, Bob, your 64 is stock, or has it been modified in any way, shape, or form?
It is stock. I the only modification it did have was I put that tri-power engine out of the black car in it when the car was restored. It took me 22 years to restore it because of, one, my lack of ability in bodywork and lack of money. So I put that engine in, and I went to POCI, had it points judged, and I lost... 40 points. I lost 50 points. I lost 40 points on the engine, and you can only lose 52 total to go from gold to silver. So that was it. I got silver. I was upset.
Right.
So I put the original.
Yeah. I gotcha. All right.
Well, do you still have the original motor for the car, or that's gone?
It's in the car now. The original engine's in there, and the tri-power engine is sitting on a cradle in the front of my garage because it looks pretty.
Sure.
I love it.
Find another car. All right, well, Bob, we're gonna have to end this because we're getting to the end. We have Kim coming in behind us doing another show. We appreciate the call, and we'll let's keep in touch. We'll get you back on, and we'll follow your exploits.
Yeah.
Well, you know where to find me. It was great. I enjoyed it.
Thanks, Bob. I'll be in touch.
Thank you.
All right. So long.
Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye bye. All right, that was Bob64GTO on Twitter and Instagram. So, Chris, we are at the end. Kim is coming in because she'll be able to do a show where she can hear what she's doing, unlike me. So, till next week, we'll be out here. What do we always say before we leave?
Don't follow us home, but make sure your volume control is up.
You got it. I'm going to head back to Celebrity Chase with the Cars and the Stars, 476 Merrick Road. We're going to be doing Cars and Coffee. I'll see you next week. Chris, bye.
Tell all the boys I said bye.
See ya.